Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And the big topic of conversation over the weekend in Vol Nation has been the quarterback position. Jarrett Garantano threw two pick sixes on Saturday in an embarrassing 34-7 loss for the Vols at home against Kentucky. I think the first time they had lost at home against Kentucky since 1984. So, Joe, I wasn't alive in 1984. What were you doing in 1984?
Breakdancing. Nice. Not watching Kentucky football.
I don't think Munson was alive either. I think you were the only one in this little gathering.
I was
right
a
here.
Small child, though. I was very young.
Very young. I was very young in 1984.
I was cheering on the Detroit Tigers World Championship, The only one they've had in my lifetime.
Well, what a year it was for you.
Yes, it was.
What a year it was for Kentucky football. But it's not really a year that Tennessee football wanted to relive, and they did on Saturday in that game against Kentucky. And now the question is, what do you do at the quarterback position as you move forward here the rest of the season if you're Tennessee? Jeremy Pruitt addressed the media yesterday and spoke on the quarterback position. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I've talked about it a little bit in the past. You know, obviously there's three or four plays in a game that Jarrett would like to have back, right? Talked about them Saturday after the game. You know, same thing with JT. You know, when you look at Brian and Harrison, both of these guys were very limited in fall camp, which is one of the reasons that, you know, we've continued to have these scrimmages on Sunday night to try to get these guys kind of caught up just to give them an opportunity. You know, there's nothing like live action. And we had a scrimmage last night and both of these guys took reps. So we'll continue to evaluate that position as the week goes.
So a little bit of a different tone there from Jeremy Pruitt. And quite frankly, it wasn't all that surprising to me. I know some Tennessee fans were upset, I guess, yesterday that Pruitt just didn't come out and be like, yeah, Garantano's not the guy.
He'll
anymore.
Never
like,
play again.
He's never going to set foot on the field again. Like, I didn't expect that to happen. And quite frankly, I mean, I still expect Garantano probably to start on Saturday against Alabama. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. But in the past, when he's been asked about that, he'll say, you know, Jarrett's our quarterback. He did not say that yesterday.
Yeah.
I do think there is a competition there. Now, who the competition right now is between, I don't know, because you heard him there talking about, you know, Brian Maurer and Harrison Bailey from just a rep standpoint. They haven't been able to do a whole lot in fall camp, via quarantine, via injury, whatever the case may be. And once you get into the season, you know, it's just more and more difficult to get those guys the reps that they need. You heard about, you know, some scrimmages that they've had, some practices where they've gotten some reps on maybe a Sunday night. That's a little bit of a different circumstance than we've seen in the past. But Pruitt did not commit there for Garantano absolutely being the guy on Saturday against Alabama.
No.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I believe that's about the same as last year after Florida.
Yes.
I believe that's basically the same thing. And, of course, Brian Maurer took the job for a while, but it quickly went back to Garantano. To me, it's one of two things. It's Garantano or it's Maurer. It's not going to be Stroud. You know, they put in Stroud, but I just don't see how. I mean, that to me is just a worse choice. You don't do that. And I don't think you go Harrison Bailey for this game. I don't think you start your freshman. I know there's a lot of Vols fans who would argue with me on that, but I just don't think you throw him out there against Alabama. You know, go ahead.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wes texts in, do you guys think if the Vols had a full regular offseason that Jarrett Garantano would have been the starter heading into this year?
100%.
I agree.
100%.
Now, I think we would be having probably a different conversation about Harrison Bailey at this point.
Maybe.
Than we're having right now.
Maybe.
But I do think Garantano would be the starter, yes.
Maybe on Bailey, more likely on Maurer.
Yes.
I mean, look, he has talent, and again, he was only a true freshman last year, and he showed some things. For a true freshman, it wasn't bad. It's just, you know, he was struggling at Kentucky. That's when Garantano took the job back. He led them to a victory, and he had some good games. And then same thing. He was bad. Garantano, I'm talking about, was bad against Indiana. They put in Maurer. He was worse. Garantano comes back, does enough to win that game. Garantano was definitely going to be the starter all along as a fifth-year senior who showed enough last year. But I agree that if it was a full off season right now, they'd be in better position to do something different. My question really is just how close is Maurer? How much did it hurt him? You know, there was a hamstring, there was quarantine. Bailey was also quarantined. So with Bailey, it's just, look, it may end up getting there, but I don't think you're there right now. You're not there right now at 2-2. But with Maurer, I think that is the viable alternative right now to Garantano. And then, like you said, Robbie, you know what I mean? First of all, this is not pro football where all these guys do is play football, right? In pro football, there are still limits on everything, but you can do a lot more to get people ready, and they're all pros. College football, you have limitations on everything you do to prepare, and you have a certain number of reps that you can give out in practice. So if it's Bailey, well, then you give every rep to him, you know, and they're not there right now. They may be there. They may be there at some point. They're not there right now. So how do you do it? You can't just say, okay, we got four guys and everybody get equal reps and let's just see who's better. You can't do that. You have to make a decision early in the week on at least maybe you can split it with two guys and go for a little while and say somebody play better than the other one. And to me, that would be Garantano and Maurer. That would be the 1-2.
Now, the interesting part about Maurer is it's kind of been portrayed by some people that we've had on that he's far off, or at least was a week or two ago from being in the plans for Tennessee. And the only way that would be the case to me is if the injury is still lingering around. Like, he's had some problems from an injury standpoint. He was there all year last year. He got reps last year. He's in the same offense as he was last year. You would think from a mentality standpoint, knowing the offense, that he's got that part down at this point. I wonder where he is physically. You know, in terms of the reps he's been able to go out there and play.
But I don't know that it's just that. I think it's also how much is he putting in on his own?
And you heard that was a theme after the game on Saturday from Pruitt. With him specifically, but with the whole team.
Yes. And you're right. Like, you don't want to overinterpret that, but he absolutely said that. Like, these guys have got to get serious, work more. Like, yeah. Is it the hamstring? Maybe. Is it a combo? Is it that Maurer? Is he getting the film room? You know, is he preparing? It's hard, I'm sure, to be a backup and not think you're going to play at all and prepare like you're a starter. Everybody talks about that. It's a great cliche. Prepare like I'm a starter. But you know what? Some people do. And then they're able to play and come right in, you know. And from things I've heard about Harrison Bailey, he's a guy who does that. I mean, he's a true freshman. It's also harder as time goes on and you're not playing. So I think with Maurer, it may be the hamstring, but it may be also like, is he doing everything he can to get on the field? And maybe that change. If not, maybe that changes this week. Maybe the scrimmage is a big deal for him to fast forward some things.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty text in, unless it's desperation, they really need to redshirt Harrison Bailey. And good news is you don't really have to worry about that this year with COVID and everything in it. This is not going to count against him from an eligibility standpoint. So you at least, if you're Tennessee, you've got freedom at that point where if you feel like later in the year you need to play him, I mean, it's not going to count against him anyway at that point.
That's right. And, you know, of course, you hope he's good enough that it wouldn't matter anyway. You hope he's good enough that he's got a decision to make in a few years, to go to the NFL. Not that you're going to continue to recruit, of course, and they're in pursuit of some more big-time prospects, but yeah, that's this year. You play him if you need him. You play him. So look, if we see him Saturday at some point, I won't be shocked. But I would be shocked if Harrison Bailey started at quarterback for the Vols against Alabama.
Oh, I would be too.
Because again, if there's the only way that's happening, and we'll find out this week, is that the staff is devoting everything to him. It's like, all you guys, your support players, thank you. Harrison, it's your deal, and every single rep has to be given to him, or else, you know, like, because it's so different for a true freshman in this offense. This is not a, one read, read half the field, look to the sideline before every snap offense, like you see in college football. There's a lot more to it than that.
No, and you heard Pruitt yesterday talk about, you know, when Harrison Bailey got in the game, you know, from the quarantine that he had to go through and missing some time in fall camp, and then you combine that with, you know, the lack of reps he's gotten. The playbook was pretty limited with Harrison Bailey in there on Saturday. But Pruitt was basically like, you know, we called plays that we knew that he would know. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
At that point. So how much ground can you really make up on that part of it in a week?
Well, your game plan has to be specific to him. It really does. You know, I just – it doesn't make sense. It does make sense at some point that they would give him a real look if it goes a certain way. But I know that – you know, here's the thing. Man, if Garantano comes out there, I will say that the boos Saturday at Neyland, they were pretty intense a couple times, including when he just came back out after he came back out after the first pick six. I think that's when it was. Then he throws another one. It was whoo. But, like, if he comes out as quarterback on their first offensive possession, the place will be filled with boos.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's sad. I mean, you're a college kid, but I get it.
Right.
I understand.
Yes. You know, to me, it's like, yeah, that's an interesting little area of, like, people tweeting at someone like him. It's just sickening, okay? They're even tweeting at recruits. Well, you know, paying fan, not happy with a personnel decision. I mean, it still feels like too much because he's a college kid. But you're also like you're booing the coaches. And I get Tennessee fans being upset with the coaches because it's not just booing them for starting him. It's, again, it's booing them for why is this your best option at this point, year three?
If Garantano starts on Saturday against Alabama, how quick is the leash? Like, is it the first almost interception? Like, how quick – does Jeremy Pruitt make a move at that point?
Yeah, it'd be quick. I mean, that's the thing. Last year, he went through a thing with all of them where, and it was like at some point, it's like, man, this guy treats quarterbacks like they're just like D linemen. You know, like, all right, come on, you got this series. Yep, your turn.
Ugh.
So I would think it would be not a long leash.
When we come back, why are the Vols so obsessed with paying people to not work for them? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. But first, Joe, you have a word from FanDuel.
I do, and it is coming, Tennessee. Sports betting, it is very close. It's almost here. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, you got an exclusive offer to get you started. Users are getting $50 in free bets just for signing up for FanDuel Sportsbook. $50 free site credit. You register, you verify early. There's no deposit required for America's number one sports betting site. It's number one for a reason. They got odds on all the biggest sports. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. And unlike other sports books, when you win, you get your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Right thing for you to do right now, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Check out their app for yourself. I've done it. It's easy. It's fun. There's a ton of stuff that you can do on there. And, of course, sports betting is almost here on games. Sign up and register. Use promo code JOE, J-O-E, so they know that we sent you. And when you verify your account, you get that $50 in site credit when the FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Promo code Joe, $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. And, of course, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, The Game. During Big Night at the Museum, modern music masters will hold history in their hands, playing timeless songs on some of country music's most treasured instruments. Premiering at 8 p.m. on October 28th, live on the Country Music Hall of Fame's YouTube channel, Big Night is a much-needed fundraiser for the museum and an unprecedented musical event. Subscribe at countrymusichalloffame.org/YouTube and tune in on October 28th. Artists performing include Kane Brown, Miranda Lambert, and Tim McGraw, with many others. Make sure you tune in for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Munson, nice job on Alan Jackson. That was good stuff.
Greatest country music singer alive right now.
Oh, yeah?
Is Alan Jackson. Yes,
he's up there.
No, he's there, Robbie. He's there.
Wow.
He's up there. I'd like to moderate this country music debate.
By the way, Garth Brooks makes an announcement on Good Morning America today. So
I know. I'm looking forward to that.
I wonder what that is. What time is it?
Wait, who is?
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks. He's making an announcement.
Okay.
Maybe new album?
Maybe retirement album?
Have you guys seen Garth Brooks live?
Yeah.
I have not.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I've heard it's awesome. I might go if I have an opportunity at some point.
At this point, given what we've gone through this year, I would go watch anyone in concert.
That's a good point. I'm going to go nuts on concerts at some point in my life.
Garth Brooks is a good place to be. Let me tell you, it's a good time. Every time he comes here, he's got like
8 shows.
17
right?
shows to choose from, so you should be in good shape. Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking balls. Brad in Clarksville texts in, how is it that Tennessee cannot find a guy at the quarterback position? Georgia, Florida, Alabama rarely have issues finding that guy. Why can't Tennessee do it?
Well, we're going to talk about Georgia right now. They got Stetson Bennett IV at quarterback. So now their problem is they found too many guys and lost a guy who right now would be leading them to a national championship. But look, it's a fair question. I mean, Harrison Bailey was a massive recruit who may end up being a really good quarterback for Tennessee. I mean, I remember when they were recruiting Jarrett Guarantano, when he was at the time, we thought Jarrett Guarantano. And that was a big-time dual-threat quarterback that a lot of people wanted. I mean, now that's a different coaching staff. But I think the disappointing thing here is with Shrout and Maurer that you don't have more competition for an average quarterback at Guarantano. Like, you're not asking guys to compete with a really good senior quarterback. You're asking them to compete with an average quarterback who, frankly, he might stick in the NFL a little bit, but he's not. If you're Tennessee, you need guys who are going to be prominent draft picks for the NFL if you want to win big. So they got to find that guy. Maybe they have him in Bailey. It's very young for Pruitt. We have to remember that it's the beginning of his third season. So I don't have a problem with him not having yet the savior quarterback. The problem is that here in year three, there's no one that can push a so-so quarterback.
Yeah, you need to have some serviceable options. And right now, we're not sure if they even have serviceable options. Like, Guarantano is serviceable. Do you have anything behind him that's serviceable?
Right. And if serviceable is one thing, but if serviceable then gives the other team 2 touchdowns
it's in no
a
longer
game
serviceable.
That you should win, right, then you have to have an alternative.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that said, if no one said the coach's name on Saturday, could you tell the difference between Pruitt, Jones, or Dooley? It's a good question.
Ooh. Ooh.
My immediate response to that is yes, from the standpoint of Tennessee, a lot of times under Dooley and Butch Jones, their offensive line just got manhandled. And that really didn't happen very much on Saturday, but I hear the point. There's a lot of the same issues that have cropped up with Tennessee for the last decade. They look like that on Saturday again, and that's to me is why. And Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville joined us yesterday and kind of laid this out. This is not a frustration just with the loss Saturday. It's not a frustration with quarterback play just from Saturday. This is built up over the last 10 years, and Tennessee fans are tired of it. And I don't blame them. I'm tired of it. But this is not just a Jeremy Pruitt, Jarrett Guarantano thing. This is a buildup that's been happening for the last decade plus.
Right. Like one quarterback making these mistakes, it blows up a game for you. And, it's too bad because I still think if Tennessee and Kentucky played 10 times, I'd take Tennessee 7 times. I really would. I think if that game just goes in a normal the normal outcomes that you'd expect, I think Tennessee wins. The problem is you're talking after the game about effort. You're talking after the game about work ethic. You're seeing guys not try to tackle a guy who gets a second pick six. That was bad. And that's stuff that you want to be out of there by now, and it's not. And that's a problem.
That's a big problem. I mean, you talked about year three being okay, not having the quarterback yet. We can talk about the options behind Guarantano at this point, but it's okay that he doesn't have this like elite level quarterback. Maybe Harrison Bailey is that guy. Maybe we'll find out here in the next few weeks and the next few years that he is that guy. But having some of those problems at the beginning of your third year, when you have largely, you look at this starting lineup on both sides of the ball, there's some guys that played a lot of football on both sides of the ball. And if you're having those issues in this culture that you're supposedly building, that is a huge red flag to me. That is not good. Not a good look.
Yeah. And look, I appreciate Pruitt for calling that stuff out, and he did it without individually. I don't like college coaches singling out guys. I think that's a bad move, for typically, and he didn't. I appreciate that he called that stuff out. But again, when you hear that stuff, you're like, that is stuff he said a lot in his first year. So why is that happening? What, you know, like, I think Trey Smith, not only a great player, he's going to be a first-round pick. I think he's, everything I see, he's a leader, man. He's out there in guys' faces. He's exactly what you want as a leader. Is it they don't have enough guys like that? I think To'o is also. Everything about that guy is awesome, you know? But those guys have got to, you got to be able to bring everybody with you, too.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A texter says, anybody is better than Garantano. If you're going off practice, he's Peyton Manning. In the game, he's more like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ooh, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Little Fitzmagic shade, huh?
Hey,
let's throw that in on him.
Easy there now. Fitzpatrick.
He's playing well lately.
Playing well now, man. He's got
it's coming. Don't worry.
A division leader right now in the Miami Dolphins.
It's coming. Don't worry.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to go off the rails.
It's going to be
It's
going to be Tua time in a little bit.
Yeah. 100% completion percentage for Tua, by the way. 2 of 2 the other day.
There you go.
It was funny. I watched Nick Saban's press conference yesterday, and they were asking him about Tennessee. And he's like, you know, they're a lot better. It just the turnovers right now, they're killing them. The quarterback just turning the ball over. It was basically Nick Saban without saying it. It was like, yeah, if they had some decent quarterback play, it'd be pretty good.
Well, it's also, yeah, so that's Saban's way of saying, like, they're not the garbage team you think they are that lost 34-7 in Kentucky. And he's right. I mean, he's right. But, yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's just too bad because that's one of those games that, again, you for Tennessee, you got to get to that level of beating those other four teams in the East. And then you just get blown out by one that hasn't beaten you in your place since 84. Also, Kentucky, of those other four programs, Kentucky deserves more respect, too, as a football program right now.
Let's go to Twitter. Dave tweets in, I'm a little late on this one, but I was driving. The Vols QB prep, you have to imagine those other three guys in the quarterback room feel exactly like the fan base. The last 3 years, no matter how many mistakes we watch at the quarterback position, it never seems enough for a change. Lots of games. I think, look, last year he did change. He changed many times at the quarterback position, but nobody was able to come in and just grab it away from Garantano.
He was more than willing to end Jared Garantano's career after the Florida game. And I remember writing, and I certainly thought at that time, I was like, that's it for him at Tennessee. He's not going to play anymore. That was, by the way, a weekend of going to Florida and watching – Mariota against Jacksonville, one of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen. And then Garantano in Gainesville like 2 days later.
Great quarterback like, that weekend.
The QB being in Tennessee right now. But he did take him out. And then he was like, I got to go back to him. And he took him out again. Back to him again. I mean, he's willing to do this. But, again, the problem is why aren't guys more ready, you know? Did you see To'o? I think it was it Instagram? Did you see his thing he put out? He put out a picture of Harrison Bailey and like the – like the hands, I guess, like hoping for Bailey. I mean, at least that's how it looked.
That doesn't sound like a thing he would do. But
I mean, maybe it was just, you know, again, these things can get misinterpreted. It could have just been like, hey, I'm rooting for you, buddy. You're coming. It's going to be your time someday. But that's, of course,
got to read the room, man.
That's, of course, being perceived as To'o wants Bailey now.
Wants Garantano out.
Yeah. You know, it's like the Brian Maurer stuff, whatever he puts out. He puts out these cryptic tweets and everybody thinks he's
transferring,
leaving the country. Yeah, I mean, so social media, you got to be careful.
So we talked about it a little bit yesterday, Joe, but Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt making the decision to fire Jimmy Broombaugh on the defensive line, also a co-defensive coordinator. So yet another example of Tennessee, you know, 4 games in really at this point, paying a guy to no longer work there. Does this not seem weird to you that he's come in? And Jeremy Pruitt yesterday in his press conference talked about, you know, it just wasn't a fit, and it's better to make a move now than to wait till the end of the season. Like, this whole situation with him seems very strange that a move was made this early on the defensive line, which has not been perfect so far, but certainly we've talked about, I think, a larger issue with this team right now. I just found that move made on Sunday very perplexing.
It is. My first thought is, like, what happened? Especially when you think about the praise Pruitt threw at him. You talk about, I mean, so Broombaugh was making, and I'm just flat out, you know, David Ubbin has a story on all this at The Athletic right now that he tweeted a little while ago. I'm reading from it. So, sorry, David. We'll have you on Friday, buddy. You can rip me then. But I am promoting your story. He, you know, $650K for Broombaugh. So he was making $175K during 2019. And then, you know, he was actually on Mel Tucker's staff at Colorado for a year. Before that, he was at Kentucky. That's a huge bump in pay and all kinds of praise from Pruitt on him. Certainly, there was a lot of thought that he's in as a recruiter primarily. Or not primarily, but that's a big part of, you know, the hire. And another thing here is everybody's talking about, like, Chris Winkie and, like, you know, and Jim Chaney. And so fans, like, if there was a reaction to bad stuff firing, it would be an offensive guy, right? Instead it's a defensive line guy. So there's probably more to this story, but the bottom line is you're talking about 12 guys, you know, 12 moves he's made already on his staff. He's some people have just, you know, left, but I mean, he's there's been a lot of turnover. I think way more turnover than you would ever want. I mean, you're going to have some turnover, but that much turnover in this short period of time, what does that say? I don't know exactly, but I don't think it's good.
Well, there have been people throwing out the question of, is Jeremy Pruitt just a pain in the butt to work for? Like, is he a guy that can't get along with his coaches and people just either want out or they have a falling out in the middle of it? We talked yesterday. I mean, right now it doesn't look like it's great between Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney. Like, we haven't seen them, like, fighting in the hallway or anything. But, you know, when your coach is publicly basically calling out your offensive coordinator in the postgame press conference, it's probably not good for the relationship. So I did see a lot of people asking that yesterday of, is Jeremy Pruitt just kind of a pain in the butt to work for?
Yeah, it's a fair question. And, you know, look, his mentor is absolutely, I can confirm 100%, a pain in the butt to work. And used to be, when I covered Saban at Michigan State, I would say that D coordinator for Saban at that time had to be the worst job in America. I know it probably paid well, although back then it probably paid like 100K.
Yeah, not as well, only 100K. Yes.
Yeah. You know, now it's like $2.5 million to be a D coordinator at a Power 5 school. Utterly miserable. But you know what? First of all, I think Saban's got a lot better. Not a lot better, though. I mean, gosh, they just, here, let's bring in our new Alabama staff now. But you can't, like, if you're Pruitt, you can't do stuff that same way.
No, you're not Nick Saban.
You know, now Saban learned, and I mean, again, Saban wasn't Nick Saban then either. He was a decent coach at a so-so program. But, like, you've got to be able to foster continuity in that staff, I think, to be able to really get where you want to get. Now, look, if someone's not doing the job, okay, make the move. But 12 moves already, that's a lot.
When we come back, I'll tell you why I think we could be fooling ourselves when we just try to discern where this football program is. That's on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Have you seen continued improvement from Tennessee this year? Is that kind of difficult given that they played 10 really good quarters and the last six quarters have kind of been nightmarish because of the turnovers?
Well, I think they have made progress. I think, you know, you look at what a team does down in, down out, how their players play. They're playing with a lot of effort, toughness. They're very well coached. They're in the right spots. But I think when you turn the ball over in this game, I don't care if it's us or them or whoever it is, it's really hard to overcome. You know, we do a little chart every week and show our players the record of every team in the country who's +3, +2, -3, -2, 0 turnovers. And all you have to do is look at that chart and it's very telling in terms of the impact that turnovers have on a game. And so I think that's been their issue. And it's not the rest of their team. It's not how they're capable of playing. It's not the progress that they've made. It's just, you know, the taking care of the ball.
That was Alabama head coach Nick Saban talking about Tennessee and the turnover problems they've had for the past couple of weeks. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Vols. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Davis texts in, Jeremy Pruitt turns over staff like Jarrett Garantano turns over the football.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Wordplay to go with NCOT B? NCOT B, Munson.
Ouch.
New kids on the block, baby.
Davis throwing some fire there. That was good.
The Vols, man, hanging tough.
Yeah, right. They're trying. They're trying to hang.
Like
tough.
That cat picture, like hanging in there. Yeah. That's the ball. put Jeremy Pruitt's face on that.
On the cat.
On the cat hanging on the clothesline wire, hanging there.
Trying to hang in with that program.
Yeah, hanging in with the – by the way, Jeremy Pruitt had a normal mask on Sunday, so that was something.
Yeah, no more
or
babushka.
Sunday, Saturday.
No more babushka wrapped up in a little like a bunch of biscuits wrapped up in a, you know, keep warm, and then you just unveil the face. It's just – yeah. So that was – from that perspective, it was a step forward.
All right, so are we kind of fooling – look, you look at the Tennessee fan base – and God love them. I'm part of it. It's been a rough decade. It's been very bad since Philip Fulmer left. But the expectation is always going to be, you know, winning 10 games a season, competing for a trip to Atlanta to go win the SEC, and ultimately competing for a national championship. That's where the fans want this program to be. Are we fooling ourselves that that's not what this program is? And not what it can be, particularly when Georgia and Alabama are as elite as they are right now? Is it even possible for Tennessee to be at that same level while those two programs are at that level, given that they have to play them every year?
Well, it's possible. I mean, LSU just won a national championship. You know, we've seen Florida have its runs. Like you said, Alabama has now been – this is more than a run. This is a – yeah, it's been really a program-changing hire – which is crazy to think about, but look at what I think Alabama is one of the best things you can bring up on this topic for Tennessee fans who are feeling down about that, because look at what they were for a long time until they found Nick Saban. They were miserably underachieving what their profile is, right? So I think Tennessee, if you look at their history, I think it's absolutely, you know, it is not – I mean, they've had, you know, longer stretches, I'd say, of not being that kind of program. But I also look at what is it? It's resources, it's facilities, it's fan base, it's tradition. It's a top 10, 12 program in the country. And I think I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. If that's the case, then yeah, you should expect to win a lot more than this, and you should expect to be competing for SEC's titles. And it's not realistic to say, okay, when's the Bama run start here? Because Alabama hired who is, honestly, I believe, clearly the best college football coach ever in Nick Saban. I mean, I think he, in this era of competitiveness, of investment, as difficult as it is to sustain something, what he's done there, I think he's the best. You can't. You're not just going to hire the best or one of the all-time greats. You know, that happened for Alabama. But, yes, I think that even with those programs doing what they're doing, you should be able to feel good about winning 9-10 and at least build up to these teams every 3 or 4 years that can actually challenge to get to the SEC title game and get to the college football playoff.
Well, the reason I bring it up is you look at the last 35 years, really. I mean, Tennessee and Alabama have not been elite at the same time.
Right.
I mean, in Tennessee's glory days, Alabama wasn't good. I mean, they were a shell of what they are right now. You've got to play them every year. They're your crossover opponent in the West. They haven't won against Alabama since before Saban got there. Like, even in Saban's first year, when they weren't good, and Tennessee went to the SEC title game that year, they still didn't beat Alabama that year. It was an ugly loss at Alabama. So I asked the question because basically right now, I head into every season, if I'm a Tennessee fan, and I look at the schedule and I say, well, there are two losses for sure. It's Georgia and Alabama. Maybe you could sneak up and get Florida. That hadn't happened a whole lot as of late either. It makes you ask the question, is it possible for Tennessee to be elite while Alabama is elite?
Yeah, and I'm going to say that's a coincidence. I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, how could it be? But I honestly, there's no reason that, again, Alabama and Georgia are both great right now. Now, I know they don't play every year, but, you know, I mean, Alabama and LSU, great at the same time as happened. They're in the same division. Alabama and Florida, great at the same time as happened. Not same division, but saying.
But
like,
wouldn't you put the LSU program kind of a notch above Tennessee?
Yes. Well, certainly, like in performance right now, yes. And they, you know, they have better access to better talent right at home.
Yes.
So that's, to me, that's the difference. You know, they have some built-in advantages that Tennessee doesn't have. You know, in Tennessee, I mean, I think the reason it's a cut below even like a Georgia is the same thing. I mean, I've heard people argue, and they may be right, that Georgia's the best job because Georgia has, one, great – it's certainly better high school talent in Georgia than in Tennessee. It's getting better in Tennessee, yep. But it's better there. And then you also have more access, you know, closer access to Florida. But I still believe that Tennessee has all the ingredients to certainly be a perennial top 10 to 15 team year after year and contend. And you have to find the continuity to get there. If you keep changing coaches, and again, if you keep making bad coach hires and then you keep changing coaches, you won't get there. We don't know if Jeremy Pruitt is the guy, but at some point, you better make a good hire and stick with it for a long time, or we'll just keep having this discussion.
Yeah, and it's been like a different formula. Like, you know, you move on from Fulmer, Kiffin comes in. I would have been really fascinated to see what he would have done at Tennessee because the first year, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. They took Alabama to the wire that year, good game against Florida. I mean, I would have been interested to see what he would have done. Now, he may have also put them on probation at some point.
Sure.
But after that, I think you go the complete opposite route and go, I guess, really safe, low risk with Derek Dooley, but also not very much reward. And just from everything that came out of there, this wasn't a good fit with Derek Dooley. Butch Jones comes in early on. It looks great. The recruits are coming in. He couldn't develop talent. And now you go with Jeremy Pruitt, who I think can develop talent, but the quarterback has just been a problem right now. It's been an interesting journey to watch how Tennessee has gotten to this point. It's been very volatile the last 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Pruitt absolutely is a better evaluator of talent. I mean, look, I've heard a lot of things about Butch over the years, even from people in the recruiting scene. I think Butch was almost obsessed with, you know, stars, yes, and having the class rank as high as it could rank. That's not how you build a football team. You find two stars who everybody misses on. And Pruitt has done that at times, too, as an assistant. Developer of talent, no question he's better. Also, he's not like – I mean, in a lot of ways, I think he's not worried about this outside stuff that I think dragged Butch down. But, yeah, the quarterback thing right now is a fair criticism. And I think the staff thing is probably the biggest concern. The constant staff turnover, why is that happening? What's going on? Because – If it's not that it's too hard to work for him or whatever, then it's uncertainty on his part of what he's looking for. Like, there's some kind of disconnect there that's got to get fixed. But also, it's very early, and a year ago, everybody's ready to give up on the guy. So let's wait and see if he can figure this out.
When we come back, the Titans are undefeated through the first five games of their season. Where do they rank in terms of the upper echelon of the AFC? We'll debate that next. But first, make sure you're tuning in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the San Francisco 49ers taking on the New England Patriots. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN The Game Nashville has your coverage of the MLB World Series presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight, 102.5 The Game will join in progress of Game 1 as the Tampa Bay Rays take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, following Rick Stocksville live. So make sure you're tuned in for that tonight on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Munson, good luck to your Dodgers.
Thank you.
Hope they do well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of people are more so now rooting for the Dodgers, but there'll still be some haters. You know what I'm saying? People don't like to see LA succeed. People don't like to see good teams succeed.
And Tampa's the underdog.
People like rooting for the underdog, and that's fine. Same thing with the Miami Heat. People are rooting for the Heat just because they hated LeBron. It's fine.
You could really use a sports fandom break here, man. Really need some good
news. What
do
you mean? I had a break.
Yeah.
I've had a 10-year break. Lakers won in 2010.
Yeah, it's just tough. Tough break
for old
Munson. 2010.
Yeah, 2010 is 10 years.
Let me tell you about some droughts.
Tell me about some droughts, Detroit fan.
Well, let me tell you this. We've been trying this crusade to get Brennan, your son, out of Lions fandom and into Titans fandom. 2-3. They got a chance to go back to .500 on Sunday.
No, the Jaguars have really screwed things up. By the way, over here, I've got a Mike Vrabel Coach of the Year votes, ESPN guys.
Is this on Get Up?
Yes.
Coach of the Year, Mike Vrabel.
That's right. That's right. Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday also has the Titans number two overall. The Jaguars really messed that up because I think if the Lions go to 1-4 there and lose to the Jags, then you finally convince someone to walk away, but now it's going to beat the Falcons. Okay.
They probably will beat the Falcons.
Right, which is, again, just the classic. Every time I try to get out, they pull me back in.
Detroit Lions football, baby.
Well, I mean, technically, the Falcons are the FPI. You don't have to take FPI.
Oh, no.
They got a 59%
chance to win. 59%
chance
to beat the Lions.
According to the FPI. How much stock you put in the FPI?
Well, the college FPI is hilarious, too. Because it's based somewhat on recruiting class rankings, too. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, great formulas that they toss out there.
Hey, the Falcons are a 2.5-point favorite currently against the Lions.
I think they
put the money on the Lions.
I think the Falcons are winning by double figures Sunday. That might be my lock this week. I'm doing really well on those.
Wow. So.
Okay. I mean, it's funny. It's funny how you. Okay. It's funny how you're trying to tell your kid not to root for the Lions, and yet here you go with a line like, okay, yeah, I'm going to put this lock on the Lions.
So no, on the Falcons winning by double figures.
Yeah, he's not betting for the Lions.
No. Wow.
He's not doing that.
The Lions are going to get trucked by the Falcons.
Really?
Falcons are
powerhouse that is the Atlanta Falcons.
After my lock of the Vikings beating them, I'm a believer in the Falcons.
Are you? Well, yeah. Let me know how that works out.
Atlanta sports. What could go wrong?
Yeah, nothing could go wrong there. I was really looking forward to the game yesterday, guys, between the Chiefs and the Bills. I thought it could be a good one. The Bills at home, and it just wasn't. Wasn't a very good game. Kansas City wins 26-17. Back-to-back losses for the Buffalo Bills. Have the way the Bills have performed in the last 2 weeks against the Titans and the Chiefs, how drastically has that changed your opinion on what they are?
Yeah, I'm a little more down on Josh Allen now, I got to admit.
Yeah.
You know, when I thought he was actually really good most of the night here, and the first pick wasn't his fault, and the second pick was awful. And he missed some throws that are Josh Allen misses, where it's like, ah, man. That's a guy wide open on a 10-yard crossing pattern, and you just threw it 5 feet over his head. But still, overall, he's pretty good. Thought last night he was pretty bad. I also think the Chiefs' defense is really good.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs won that game last night by running the football, basically saying, hey, Le'Veon, you got some work to do to get in this lineup because Edwards-Helaire looks awfully good. But they ran the ball, and Chris Jones is a load, and they played good defense, and that's why to me the Chiefs are the clearest one still in the AFC. And yeah, the Bills, I was disappointed in their performance. They are not maybe quite what we thought they were after a few weeks.
Josh Allen, 14 of 27 last night, 122 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick.
Yeah, I also like they just kept trying to, and I know I think any team against the Chiefs, the idea is run the ball, keep the ball, don't let them have the ball. But they were too conservative, I think, in too many spots last night, you know? I just didn't really like what they were doing. So, yeah, the thing is, that division is theirs to just run away with the way the Patriots are playing, but they don't want to do it.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in, the Bills are who we thought they were. Shout out Dennis Green, RIP.
There you go. Great, something we'll quote forever and ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought the Bills were – for me, like, I thought they were about a 10-6 team this year and winning that division. Maybe they're 11-5. That's probably about what they will be, right?
Yeah, everybody's talking – like, people were talking about the Dolphins today. The Bills are going to win that division. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, an implosion is coming. It hasn't happened the last couple weeks. He's been really good. We've seen this before.
Tua brings them
all the way. I mean, looked good in his two passes the other day. 2 of 2 for 9 yards.
Their D is good. I mean, the Dolphins probably can beat some people. Maybe the Dolphins can be like an 8-8 team, you know, something like that.
Maybe.
Which would be good. That'd be a step forward. But, yeah, the Bills should win it. They got Diggs back last night. They got White back last night. They still don't have Milano. They'll be a lot better when he's back. They're still good. The Chiefs are just – the Chiefs can beat you – with their defense at times. And that's, I mean, I think for the rest of the league, you know, we didn't see it last night. Of course, my fantasy team could have used like a Mahomes 500 yarder and 5 TDs, you know, but They know they can do that too. If they get into something, if they're down 20 points, they can come back. But they can beat you by playing stout defense and running the football. So that should worry everyone.
So, Joe, you said you have the Chiefs as the number one team in the AFC. And the Titans, 5-0 on the season, obviously undefeated. And, look, we're going to learn a lot about where the Titans kind of stack up in the AFC this week. This Steelers-Titans game is huge, and we're going to spend a lot of time this week talking about that and breaking down that matchup specifically. But if I were to ask you right now, you've got the Chiefs, you've got the Ravens, the Steelers, the Titans, whoever else you want to throw in that mix, where do the Titans stack up in terms of the rest of the AFC, in your opinion, if the Chiefs are number one?
Well, I still would go Ravens 2. And I think right now I'd put the Titans 3 and the Steelers 4. Now, that doesn't mean I'm picking the Steelers or the Titans to beat the Steelers Sunday either, but that's what I would do. Although, I tell you what, I say that, and now Taylor Lewan is out for the season, so maybe I'd flip-flop that. It's very close. It's a great undefeated matchup of those two teams to find out about them. I think we know the Steelers, they have a good defense. They have a lot of good players on defense. They've had some issues, you know, letting some teams come back into games, but, you know, that happens too in this league. I mean, the Eagles kind of threw it around on them in that game. The Browns did nothing against them.
They did not.
The Browns have a good offense. I mean, I know Nick Chubb's out, but that's a good offense. And they just embarrassed them. So I think the Steelers are very good on offense, and I think certainly good enough to move the ball on the Titans the way they're playing defense right now. But I think it's really close. It should be a fascinating game Sunday.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a texter that says, the Titans always play to their competition. A good team, they play great. Against teams they should beat, they struggle. Yeah, we're 5-0, but need to see some more consistent play.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the great thing is you can say that at 5-0. But you're right. The defense hasn't been good. I will say this now. They're playing a not very good Texans team, and they're up 21-10, and they're about to be up 28-10. You know, and probably at that point, you're probably cruising in that game. And then you give up the first of two sacks on the day, and you miss a field goal.
Yeah.
Was that when it was blocked?
Yeah.
That was the blocked field goal. And the game flips on you. So, I thought they didn't come out. Like, we were trying to figure out last week what this game's going to be like. I was like, Texans are covering. I might even win. It's close because it's just that trap game. And you know what? I was really impressed with how the Titans came out. They didn't play to their competition.
Early on, I thought they were going to win by four touchdowns. Yes. I mean, they were dominating in the first half.
You know, and then you have a couple miscues, and you're playing Deshaun Watson. You know, that's the thing about this league. How many teams do you play that you're really just playing crap teams? They went up to Minnesota. Cousins was hot that day. Jefferson was going off, and Dalvin Cook is awesome. You know, it's a hard league.
It's interesting, like, in terms of where the Titans fit in right now in the AFC. I would agree. I've got the Chiefs and Ravens as 1-2. Trying to decide between the Titans and the Steelers right now, obviously the game's going to tell us a lot. So that goes without saying. But the Titans defensively are not good. They're just not a good football team right now. You can't just ignore that. But, like, on the other side, you look at the Steelers right now offensively, none of their numbers are going to blow you away. Like, they're, like, 22, I think, overall on offense. Now, their defense, I think, is far and away the best defense the Titans will have seen up until this point. And they've got weapons offensively that scare you. I mean, Chase Claypool has come in. He looks like he's going to be really good. And yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster has been pretty quiet all year. But you always kind of leave that in the back of your mind if, you know, at some point he's going to break out, you would assume. Maybe it's this week against the Titans, but
I'm sure he thinks so.
It's two teams with two different strengths. Like, I'm not going to say that Pittsburgh's offense is bad, because it's not. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger has come in, and you could just tell. He makes a big difference for that team. But this is not, you know, the most explosive team they've gone up against so far this year. So it's interesting the different styles that the Steelers and the Titans have, and trying to determine which one you trust more in terms of where to rank them right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, even if whatever happens Sunday, you know, there's also just how does one team match up with another team? One team may be flat out better. Like, look, the Ravens were better than the Titans last year, okay, by any measure you want to be. But on that one night, the way they matched up, Titans had a great plan, and they beat them. So whatever happens Sunday doesn't mean that things can't change a lot as the season goes on. But it's a great test. I agree with you that it's the best defense I've seen, I think, easily. I'm trying to think. I mean, I'd say the best defense before this would be the Bills.
Yeah.
But they were also missing, you know, probably their two best defensive players, right? So I think this will be easily the best. Yeah, it's a little harder with the Steelers offense, Titans defense. And the Titans have just got to – you know, if you can get after Roethlisberger, he's not going to do to you what Allen and Watson just did.
He's not going to be moving around a whole lot.
He's tough to bring down at times, you know, but get there and you probably have more success. There are some plays that they make on less mobile quarterbacks against both Allen and Watson, you know, that they didn't make. So that's one positive moving into this game.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Take your reaction to 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.